Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. A few weeks ago, my husband Eldon preached at our youth service and he had, I don't know if anyone remembers, does anyone remember the title of his sermon? Has everyone got a good... Yes, see, good. Chicken goes cluck, cluck, cow goes moo, what comes out of you? So today my title is awesome. It's grace. Thank you. I'm very creative. I'm not talking about today the grace that we say before we eat or, the really quick ones before, you want to dig into your food. I'm talking about the grace of God. And As Pastor Phil just said, grace is the foundation of our faith. And I don't know, this is kind of how my brain works, right? I've grown up in church and grace is a familiar term for me. But when I really sat down and started going through God's word and all the scriptures that speak about his grace, I kind of had this moment of like, but what does that actually mean? What does that actually mean for us on a day-to-day level? Right? And practical, that's how my head works. And so, you know what, this morning you may have heard me before, you may not have, and that's good, but I'm actually not here to entertain you, I'm not here to blow your minds, I'm not here to do anything but share with you what God's put on my heart. And so I just pray that, and I have prayed this week, that it would be a head, heart, and hands thing. That it wouldn't just be something that you get in your head and get your head around it. It wouldn't just be like an emotional feeling that you cling to something that I say, and it wouldn't just be, take the practical side of it. But we actually need all three of those together. And so I pray this morning that as I share, that you're able to grab a hold of God's word and what he says through it in a head, heart, and hands way. So let's pray before we get into it. Dear Lord Jesus, we are just so grateful that we're here this morning. Father God, just reminded, even last night at a youth conference, Father God, that you really are at work even when we're not aware. Father God, I just thank you for how good you are. Lord, I thank you that you meet us, that you are not distant. So Lord, I just pray that every single word that comes out of my mouth is directly from you and from your heart, Father. And I pray I would reflect you in the best way possible in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I'm really awful at sayings and slangs and that sort of thing. I always get them confused and mixed up and I say it. And I know there's many people laughing right now because you've experienced this. And one time I said, I'm deaf as a bat. And Eldon was like, they've got really good hearing. And I thought... Oh, so I got it wrong. It's blind as a bat and deaf as a doorknob. I still get it wrong, even though he corrects me. There's some really good Aussie slangs. One I learnt recently was shoot through. I didn't know what that meant, but it means to leave. Or some of you may know it's a dead set. Youth use that a lot. Where the youth pastors, dead set, which means it's true. Or legit, which is legitimate. And so... Again, like I said before, we have this word grace, right, that we use in our Christian faith and that we see in the life of Jesus and we read in his word. But what does that actually mean? Like even as a person who's grown up and has heard it and I feel like I understand it to a degree, wasn't until I really got into his word this week and saw after it that I realized, hang on a second, there is so much more to his grace than I could have ever imagined. Now, there's actually, I'm going to share kind of from two perspectives this morning, that the first part is the grace we receive from God, and then the second part is the grace that we then extend to others. And I really believe that you need to kind of get the foundation of this, obviously the grace we receive from God first before we can then extend it. You can't give something you don't have. And so I know that as this church... starts to welcome more and more people and we start to have more people in. As I was praying, it just became so apparent to me that we need to be a people of grace. Right? This community that we're in needs grace. It needs God's grace, not just any grace, it needs God's grace, right? And grace isn't just something that is like this one-off transaction when we pray the prayer to ask Jesus into our lives and say that we need him as Lord. I think sometimes we put grace as like this one-off, that was when I experienced grace and that's God's grace. But actually, it's something we live and walk in. And that's why it ties in so well with the series that we've been doing on faith, because there's a very big difference between having a faith and then actually walking it out, right? The Greek word for grace, because, you know, I got to sound smart. No, I'm joking. The Greek word for grace is charis, which means kindness. God's grace, if it can be put simply, is God blessing us despite the fact that we don't deserve it. God's grace is his kindness to us even though we're unworthy. It's really hard to speak about grace because it's actually who God is. So the more I got into this week, I realized I could speak for weeks because it's who God is. And I love God, and to be able to share about who he is, it's just like this never-ending list. And so I hope I do part of it justice this morning. Romans 3, 22-24 says, "The righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace." Ephesians says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved, actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, not through your own effort, but is the undeserved, gracious gift of God, not as a result of your works, nor your attempts to keep the law, so that no one will be able to boast or take credit in any way for his salvation." Grace is a gift. And I don't know about you, sometimes you can get given a gift and you're wondering if there's a bit of an underlying motive or agenda behind it. But I really felt that someone, or maybe more than one of you, needs to hear that there is no other agenda with God. There's no ulterior motive. There's no catch. There's no, here, have this, oh, but by the way, you know, there's terms and conditions that we never read on contracts. It's not like, here's this, but then here's the terms and conditions. God's grace is free, but it was bought at a price, a very, very high price. We don't work for God's grace. And this may be, to some of you, new, or it might actually be something you've heard before. But I know that even myself, growing up in church and being in this world for a while, you can very, very quickly fall into that trap of working for God's grace, working for his love, working for it. Without even realizing, you can be completely unaware. And yet Romans 5:8 says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we can work all we like, but we all need his grace. What I love about grace is not a favorite to anybody, that it's for everybody, that God is for everyone. And when I'm talking about grace, I'm talking about God. And so I pray even this morning that as I speak, that you start to see a facet and you start to hear about God's character in a different way, or maybe something you haven't understood before. One thing I do want to mention this morning really quickly is that as much as God's grace is not earned and that we don't work for it, and that it is a gift, it's not the license to continue in our ways. And that's not the catch. That's actually, we live out of grace. So when we fully understand the grace that we've received, we then live out of that. So it means we actually don't want to continue in the life that is without Jesus and things that don't please him. Romans 6:15-18 in the Message version, it says, "So since we're out from under the old tyranny, does that mean we can live any old way we want? Since we're free in the freedom of God, can we do anything that comes to mind? Hardly. You know well enough from your own experience that there are some acts of so-called freedom that destroy freedom. Offer yourselves to sin, for instance, and it's your last free act. But offer yourselves to the ways of God, and then freedom never quits. All your lives you've let sin tell you what to do. But thank God you've started listening to a new master, one whose commands set you free to live openly in his freedom. Grace isn't a reward for good behavior. Otherwise, none of us would get it. Right, sometimes we think like a gift is a reward. God, this is not a reward. Grace is a gift, a free gift that we cannot possibly earn. I love Romans 11. It says, but if it is by grace, which is God's unmerited favor, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. It would not be a gift, but a reward for works. We need to extend grace. This grace that we receive so freely from God, that is a gift, we need to extend. Colossians 4:6 says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms, 1 Peter. Hebrews 12, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. What does it look like to actually be gracious? I want you to think of someone in your life who you would use the word gracious to describe them. For me, when I think of that, I actually think of one of my aunties. She's the most gracious person I've ever met. Because grace is selfless. It's a funny phenomenon because it's actually all about us, but it's nothing about us. So when God extends the gift of grace to us, it's all about how much he loves us, and yet at the same time, it's nothing to do with us. It's all to do with how good he is. So it's both. It's the same when we extend the gift of grace. It's actually got nothing to do with whether the person deserves it or not, because otherwise it's not grace. So it's got nothing to do with them, but at the same time it's got everything to do with them, because it's the God in heaven who loves them. And if we can start to actually put the glasses of grace on, I love that term that Joan uses all the time. If we could start to actually put glasses of grace on and see people for how Jesus sees them, how much easier it is to be gracious. I know even on the roads, Elder and I. I'm really good. So if someone indicates and they want to like come in, I go, yeah, come on in. Elder's like, vroom. No one's getting in. He's not gracious on the road. No. No, Joe, it's really funny. One of my points later is actually to speak, obviously speak well. I speak well of you, honey. You're good. You're good. Who's received a gift recently, or this, you know, birthdays, Christmas, all the rest of it? You know, when I get something, I love using it straight away. So a couple of years ago, I got like noise cancelling headphones, and I used them for like a few weeks and loved it, and then that was it. And then at our wedding, we got platters, and I pull those out sometimes whenever I'm doing something, and oh yeah, that like reminds me of our wedding. Each year at Easter, my parents kind of came up with this new tradition when we were younger of instead of getting heaps of chocolate, we get like a new set of Peter Alexander pajamas each year. It's awesome. We love it. Even as adults, we still get it. My mum's, her love language is gifts. But the contrast between those two, right, because I wear my pajamas every day. So I remember like, oh, these are my pajamas from mum. It's nice. Like, it reminds me. And that's what grace is supposed to be. It's a gift that was given that's not meant to, we're not just meant to remind ourselves of it when we take communion. And it's not just like this once-off thing that we go, oh yeah, that was grace when I prayed the prayer. Actually, we're meant to live and walk in it every single day. It's a gift that we receive. And Ephesians says, for it is by grace that you've been saved. It's a gift of God. It's a gift. My second point this morning is that grace teaches. I love that God's grace, there's actually so much more to it than I realized. Titus 2 says, "For the remarkable undeserved grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to reject ungodliness and worldly immoral desires and to live sensible, upright and godly lives with a purpose that reflects spiritual maturity in this present age, awaiting and confidently expecting the fulfillment of our blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour." A different version says, "God's marvellous grace has manifested in person, bringing salvation for everyone. This same grace teaches us how to live each day as we turn our backs on ungodliness and indulgent lifestyles, and it equips us to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age." You know, one of the biggest assumptions that I know you would probably be familiar with people of that think of Christianity and God and that sort of thing, is that it's just a list of rules and do's and don'ts, and you know, that you're so confined. But what I love is that grace is actually freeing. I read a scripture earlier that says that. But not only that, that God's word actually gives us replacements. It's not just turn away from that and good luck. Like, he doesn't do that. His grace does not just stay in that day that you prayed the prayer. His grace actually teaches us how to walk with him and how to do it with him. It is not just this thing that is like a once-off thing. It actually, and I know I'm repeating myself, but I really feel that's the point that God wants to drive home this morning, is that we actually need to live out of grace, constantly walking in it, being aware of the grace that we get from God, but then also walking in it and extending it to others, because it's got nothing again to do with them, whether they deserve it or not. It's actually our understanding of God. I just want to show who you are. What I love about this, though, it actually means we need to be teachable. If grace teaches, right, it can't teach us if we're not teachable. And I'll be vulnerable. I reckon, so Elder and I moved over to Melbourne almost 6 years ago. I grew up in a great church and came to Compass. And I remember sitting with Phil in the first 6 months that we were here. This is why I love him. And we're like, "Whatever you need, you tell us what you want us to do." And he's like, just sit for a few months. But then he said this, he's like, "What do you want to do?" And I was like, "Oh, anything you want us to do." You tell us what you want us to do. And it was 6 months that we sat and got to know Compass culture and all that. And in those 6 months were also some of the hardest. We'd moved, obviously, away from family. We'd just got married, like 2 weeks earlier. I kind of got here and was like, "What are we doing?" But I know God was in it. And I look back now, and what I learned in that 6 months has completely changed my perspective of God, my perspective on who I am. Because I had learnt these things that seemed right, and there is a scripture, I think, in Proverbs that says things that seem right, actually, or seem good, can lead to death. And so there were things that I thought were good based on God's word, but actually the outworking of it wasn't. And so I had to unlearn a lot of prideful things where I was like, "Yep, I've grown up in church, I know the scripture." Like, and it's not that I didn't walk around like that, but I had this mentality that I was like, "I'm all good." Like, I can honestly say I didn't have a full understanding, a revelation of God's grace in my life, because I haven't really gone through a lot of hardship. I hadn't, you know, I've loved God and I've served him, and I kind of was like, where does God's grace fit when you live your whole life for him, right? But it wasn't until I sat in this church and experienced God's presence in a way I hadn't before, and actually witnessed people operating in grace, because I don't deserve it, you don't deserve it, no one deserves it. But I was treated with such grace, and I started realizing that I needed to really let go of a lot of things. And I just want to say, as a healthy challenge this morning, I've not arrived, no one's arrived. I pray, and I'm speaking to myself this morning, that again God and his Holy Spirit would highlight things in our lives that we need to unlearn. The areas that we've held on to pride, where we go, "No, I don't need God in that," because that's where his grace needs to come in. There's a scripture, I'm going to jump ahead, Brett. I told you I'd do it. In James 4, that God is opposed to the proud, but continually gives the gift of grace to the humble who turn away from self-righteousness. And I pray that this morning that there'll be things in our lives that the Holy Spirit would highlight, that we go, you know what, I'm trying to do that by myself. Because that's, when we're trying to do it by ourselves, it's saying that we don't need God in that. We don't need his grace. We can do it on our own. It's prideful. Number three, grace is all sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, but he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My loving kindness and my mercy are more than enough, always available regardless of the situation. For my power is being perfected and is completed and shows itself most effectively in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly boast in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may completely enfold me and may dwell in me. There's a quote by a guy called Sam Albury, and he says, I don't need to look good so Jesus can look good. I need to be honest about my colossal spiritual need so he can look all sufficient. I'm going to read it again because that challenged me, especially the first bit. It says, I don't need to look good so Jesus can look good. I need to be honest about my colossal spiritual need so he can look all sufficient. You know what? Our community doesn't need us to be fake. Our community does not need us to have this front on that we've got our lives together and that we're good. Don't get me wrong. We should be walking in joy and hope and life. And I'm not saying that we should be moping people, because really that's not attractive either. But our community needs a people who goes, I just need God. Because everyone needs God. There is not, in your mind, when you think of the best person or the worst person or anyone in between, we all need God. All of us. It does not matter where you find yourself. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how old the people are in this community. We all need God's grace. Which means we actually need to be a people that walks in that. I just need Jesus. You know what, when you start to get a revelation of this, it's actually so much easier to talk to people about it, because you have this like desire to share. It's like when you see a really good movie, or you hear, like, go to a good concert or whatever, and you tell everyone. It's the same when you actually experience God's grace. And that's why I said at the beginning that this is a head, heart, and hands thing. It's not just an experience, it's an understanding, but then it's also, we walk in it. It's all three. And so I just pray that this morning, one of those things hits you, and so that as a church, we can actually walk in grace in this community, and that we wouldn't be a people that have it all together. We don't need to look good. We need, Jesus is good. We actually just need to be aware of our need for him. When God's grace, when it says that his grace is sufficient for you, it means that he will give you strength in your weakness. What I love is that it's actually regardless, it says regardless of the situation. And I believe there's people here this morning, and you feel like you're in a hopeless situation or a situation that you need strength. And I just want to say that God's grace is all sufficient. It's everything. It encompasses everything we need. It's a really hard thing to get your head around, that if you had to strip everything away in your life, that God is enough. It's really easy to say, not so good when things actually start falling away and you realize actually God is all I need. He is all sufficient. My last point this morning is that grace never runs out. James 4 says, but he gives us more and more grace. He gives us more and more grace through the power of the Holy Spirit to defy sin and live an obedient life that reflects both our faith and our gratitude for our salvation. Therefore, it says God is opposed to the proud and continually gives the gift of grace to the humble. And this might sound funny, but God doesn't run out of grace. He doesn't have a quota. There's no like grace period where you get to the 30-day mark and it's like, yep, cool, you're on your own now. More of God's grace is poured out when we're humble, when we are aware of our need for him over everything else. Think of it in the reverse. The more self-righteous and proud we become, the less we think we need God, and so therefore the less grace we have, which means our patience, our tolerance for others diminishes. We don't need that in this church, and we don't need that in this community. We need God's grace. Which means we actually need to get a little bit vulnerable before God. And I was sharing with the youth a couple of weeks ago, sometimes we think we can go to God and it's got to be, everything's good. And we got to speak in faith and we got to pray in faith. I'm not saying that. But sometimes we actually have to get a little bit like David and just sit and go, you know what, God, I need you. It's been a really hard week. I'm feeling this. Pour out, like, you're not kidding God from anything. He knows already. Right? But then we can't stay there. We can't stay in that place, because if we stay there, then we're not helping ourselves and we're not helping others either, and it ends up being selfish. We actually need to be selfless. Grace is selfless. Think about God, what he did. He sent his son to the cross. That is selfless. We need to get a little bit vulnerable before God this morning. Go, God, what is it in my life that I need to learn or unlearn? What areas do I need to let you in on? Because I actually don't have it all together. When we receive more, we can give more. And I really feel this morning that some of you are running on empty. So your patience is really low, your tolerance is really low for other people and even maybe yourself. When I think about your families, your marriages, your kids, you need grace. And let's be honest, there's some people, right, let me say this. Because grace is not dependent on whether the person deserves it or not, that means we should be offering it to everybody, because it doesn't disqualify anyone. And yet somehow we have this thing, because we're human, and I'm putting my hand up for this, that there are people that are easier to be gracious towards because we think they deserve it more, because really that's what makes it easier. But actually, no one deserves it. None of us deserve God's grace. We're all in the same boat. And so when we have that understanding that it doesn't disqualify anyone and we don't deserve it and we're not worthy and yet God still pours out, we're able to actually give it so much more freely and easily. There's a scripture that says we're freely we receive and so freely we give. Ephesians 2:6-10 says, and he raised us up together with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, think about when this was written, he might clearly show the immeasurable and unsurpassed riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus by providing for our redemption. For it is by grace that you have been saved and through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, but is the undeserved gracious gift of God. Further down it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which, my favorite part, God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. My favorite part about grace is it meets us wherever we're at. And Eldon said this earlier, God meets us where we're at, but it does not want us to leave us there. It teaches us. God wants to pour out more grace, which means if you're having more and you're not moving, it's not going to, you can't, if you're not giving anything, you're just going to stay there and you're going to get full and then empty because it goes. And then you'll be like, what's happening? Because you're not moving. God's grace doesn't just want to meet you in one place and when you say that prayer and then good to go, off you go and you're on your own. God is so aware that we are human. Jesus knows, right? He was human. And yet he lived completely out of the Spirit and through relationship with God. You know, God has prearranged every step in your life. Every single step. But it's through his grace. We can only live our lives for God and with God in his grace. to the fullest, right? We can live a life without his grace, but it's not going to be very full. God's grace is a gift. It teaches. It's all sufficient and it never runs out. We all need it. No one's too good or too bad enough for God's grace. God's grace shows us who he is. You know what? We learn how to be gracious and to extend grace when we actually come back to God and acknowledge our need for him and his grace. And I'm really believing this morning that, and I loved what Vicky said the other week, and so I'm going to say the same. I'm not going to assume that because you're sitting in church that you know God and that you walk with him daily. God's grace is for everyone. And so if you've been hearing what I'm saying and something has jumped out at you or your spirit is leaping and you don't know what that is, it just means you get this sense in you that there's something that you're connecting with. I'd love to pray with you this morning because we all need God's grace. I could invite the band up. If everyone could just close their eyes and bow their heads, I'm going to pray. Do you know what I love about God? Is that it doesn't matter where we find ourselves. It doesn't matter what we think about ourselves. It doesn't even matter what we currently think about him. Our thoughts don't change who he is. So regardless of where we're at with our understanding, our hearts with God, he's still knocking at your heart. He's still wanting to meet with you. I'd love to pray with you this morning. If you have heard anything I've said and gone, I need that grace in my life. It's freeing. It gives us purpose and meaning. It doesn't leave us alone. It walks with us daily. Just as much as we choose to walk in it, God's grace is there every step of the way. I love everyone in this place to repeat this prayer after me. And if you really mean this morning, I just pray that this would be a divine moment between you and God. Just repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending your Son to die for my sins and to be raised to life again so that I can live and be with you in eternity. Please forgive me, God, for not surrendering to you, for doing life my own way. I ask you to be Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just keep your eyes closed and heads bowed. If that was you this morning and you go, yeah, I really need God in my life. I cannot do this by myself. I'm really sensing that there's someone here and you feel completely hopeless. God's grace is all sufficient. It is all you need. If you prayed that prayer and you mean it and you want God to be the author and the illustrator of your life, I just would ask you, I'm the only one looking, it's just so I can pray with you this morning. I'd love for you to raise your hand and be bold. Just acknowledge and go, yeah, I really need God in my life. Maybe you did have God in your life at some point and maybe you've walked away. That pride and self-righteousness has come in. I'd love to pray with you this morning personally. You just raise your hand. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It's the best decision you could ever make. I don't say that lightly. It really is. Is there anyone else? Thank you, God. You can put your hands down. Thank you. I also want to pray for people this morning as I was praying this week and just asking God and being aware of where our church is at and where we're heading. I felt God put a couple of things on my heart. First and foremost, and probably the really obvious one, I want to pray for people this morning who just need a fresh revelation of God's grace in their life. What He's saved you from that you don't even realize. Maybe He saved you from things that you are completely aware of and yet you just need a reminder this morning. The second thing I want to pray for people for is being able to extend grace in this community, in your families. You know what? Our marriages need grace. You know what that means? That means it's not reliant on whether the person deserves it or not. Our kids need it. Our work colleagues need it. I just want to say, when you start operating and walking and talking in grace, you will see significant shifts in your world. If you've been praying for people in your life that need Jesus, can I encourage you to get into God's word and really get into what does it look like to walk in grace and speak with grace, operate in grace. Our schools need it, our unis need it. So I want to pray for people this morning that you're just saying, God, use me to demonstrate your grace. And again, it's not about making God look good, it's about showing the world that we need Jesus. Always. Grace isn't weak, it is powerful. Grace isn't just God's forgiveness, it is so much more. I'd love us to stand to our feet this morning. I've made sure I've allowed time. We will close at 11:30 if you need to go. But for these next few moments, we're going to sing. I just pray. I'm going to pray in a second, but I just pray that whatever I've said, I don't know if you noticed, I use the amplified version. There's lots of words. I'm a girl. I like it. I pray something resounded in your heart this morning. And what I love about the Holy Spirit is I've said a lot of different things. And yet I know each one of you would have taken something, and that's the Holy Spirit speaking directly to you. I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing. And after that, if you would like prayer specifically for anything, I would love to pray with you. Our prayer team would love to pray with you. I really don't believe this is an ordinary morning. It doesn't have to be. It can be for you if you want, but it doesn't have to be. Dear Lord God, Holy Spirit, I just pray even right now, Lord, you would just be moving upon our minds, our hearts, and our spirits. Lord, I just pray right now you would be speaking into our hearts, Lord. ways we can extend your grace, ways we can love people better. God, I just ask right now that we would experience a new understanding, a new revelation of your grace to a deeper level. Because when we do, God, it means that we can extend that to others in a greater way. God, I thank you, your grace never runs out. It is all sufficient. I pray people standing here today who need your grace, Father God, the strength of your grace, I just declare over every single person in this room. God, I thank you that we have received your grace as a free gift. God, I thank you that you don't hold back on us, Lord. We're the ones that hold back on you. So, Father God, in these next few moments, I just pray, and I know, Father God, that you speak. So, Lord Jesus, before we even pray for people who need prayer, God, I just declare that you will speak this morning. God, I pray visions and pictures. God, I pray dreams. I know that some of you are going to go home tonight and you're going to have a dream. Some of you are going to have pictures standing here. Can I just say, don't keep it. Talk to people. Get into God's word. That's his word speaking directly to us. God speaks to us, people. It's not just for us who are up here or for anything. It's for everybody. We approach God's throne. We approach your throne this morning, God, with confidence because of your grace. If it wasn't for your grace, God, we could not do that. So, Father God, we want to thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.